Philippians chapter 3. Start in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcisions which worship God in spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to that he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the flesh, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for what also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we have a guide. Lord, we have your exact, actual words, Lord, that we can use to learn the kind of Savior that we had and the life that he lived so that we can model ourselves after him. Father, we can learn about your love and your mercy. Father, we can understand what the comfort that you offer us. Lord, that we can have instruction for our daily lives. And Lord, have the confidence in knowing that you have given us direction and you have a plan and a purpose. Father, there's so many things we glean from this book. So, Father, I just help pray you ask, Lord, that you be with my mind today. Lord, it is a head full of jelly. I'm going to be honest with you. It's been one of those mornings. And so, Father, I thank you for your word, that it is truth, and that your Holy Spirit is the teacher. Lord, that we're going to share some things together, and it's not about how I'm going to do. Lord, it is about what your word has said. So, Father, just be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Boy, you got to love the Red Sox. Until they have an 18-inning game. Oh, I'll tell you what. I did not stay up for the end of the game. And I'm glad because, boy, to have it be a one-run game by the after that long. Although, and I'm going to tell you, I did stay up for last night's game. So I'm a little groggy in the first place. Okay? But then my daughter comes in after I'd already been asleep. Dad, there's a skunk in the duck pen. So that shook me up last night at about 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever time it was. And so, okay, Lord, get back in bed. And I'm like, all right, got to get some sleep. Tomorrow's church. I want to be ready. 6 o'clock this morning, the puppy, bark, 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 bark. I was ready to kill every animal that was anywhere near my house. Inside, outside, I was just ready. Okay, I'll tell you. So, just be honest with you. I'm a little foggy this morning. But you know what? I think it's an amazing coincidence. And I don't believe in coincidence. I think it's an amazing example, because we have been reading over the last couple of weeks about the Apostle Paul saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. There are times when you and I need to push ourselves to do what our flesh doesn't want us to do. And that's where we're going to jump off of this again, reminding ourselves. Paul here, I read that whole passage because he reminds us he has no confidence in his flesh. And he said, I got a lot of things I could be confident about. But he says, when it comes to my flesh, I don't put any confidence in it. Because there are times when you and I know the flesh is weak. And we're not necessarily ready to do the things we ought to do. Okay, we got to get up and go, you know what? Be quiet. You're doing it today. Okay, and do what we know is the right thing to do. I remember we were talking about the book of Philippians as the theme of joy, and that's been something that's been taught down through the years because the book hasn't changed. But we also have been reminding that the book of Philippians also is about the mind. It's about the choices that we make. It is about the way we think. And the Apostle Paul is reminding them, listen, all those things that the world looks at as a resume booster, I count it as loss. I count it as dung. Really makes that not that much difference, because when it comes to the flesh, this flesh wants to resist us doing the things that are right when it comes to what God wants us to do. Then last week we talked about this, and I like last week's because Paul says he wants to be a winner. Okay, that's what Paul is. I love sports. I'm competitive. I also in debates, I'm just competitive. I like being the winner. And that's not necessarily prideful. It can be, but God created us to be winners. He wants us to strive to be our best. Okay? He does not want spectators. He does not want couch potatoes. He wants people who are going to make an effort. And how many times this last week, and I'm not going to re-preach last week's message, but how many times we read the Apostle Paul saying, listen, we're in a race. We're running a race. We're striving for a prize. We're trying our best. We train. We bring ourselves on the mastery. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians because I want to reread this passage because we have to set the stage for this. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And the reason we're doing this is because the verse we're picking up in our study this morning, the Apostle Paul says, therefore. Well, when you see therefore in the scripture, it means the stuff we just talked about, we're going to come to a conclusion because of that. So we can't move forward until we remember what the Apostle Paul was hitting us with. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And just a reminder of the Apostle Paul, what he was talking about in his heart when it comes to this. Chapter 9, looking at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. So again, the Apostle Paul reminded us, if we're in a race, well then run. How sad it would be if all of a sudden, the starting line and everybody's down in their three-point stance and they blow the gun out, pow! And everybody stands up and goes, yeah, I'll get to the finish line sometime. No! That gun goes off, and they're making tracks. They're trying their best to get there. Why? Because there's a prize to win. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Keep going. And every man that striveth, meaning struggle, make effort for the mastery, is temperate, self-controlled in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I, therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, meaning, I got a plan. I don't get out there and try to do this, whatever. Hey, man, we'll just... No, he's got a plan, okay? And we talk about temperate and mastery. You got to train. Man, I'm loving the Red Sox. Boy, I tell you what, and if you're not a baseball fan, I'm going to tell you to zone me out. But don't zone me out. Listen, to watch Cora and watch him make all these chess moves on what pitchers go where and which guys he's going to sub in at what positions and who's the best hitters to put in at a certain time. I mean, you think guys get up and they try to hit a little ball and they catch a little ball. There's so much more to it than that. And just to watch it going on, you understand the effort put in to kind of, and they're talking about the hitters where they, every time they're up at bat in practice, they videotape their hitting and they go over every swing. See what you did here? You don't want to do that. Oh yeah. See that? That's perfect. That's what the recording every swing they take when they're in batting practice. I mean, you might know, understand the kind of effort that it takes to be world champions in the World Series. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to remind us of again. Whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's Olympic medals, no matter what it is, he's going to reference boxing here in a minute. You got to have a plan. And it takes effort. Okay? He says, "Now I don't do it uncertainly, and I do not fight as one that beateth the air." And here's my verse of this morning. This is my theme verse for this morning. "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." That's my verse for this morning. I had to literally feel like I was under my bed sheet this morning, pushing this body out of bed. "Get up, boy." I was to the point after the dogs and everything, I went back to bed and took a nap this morning. You ever do that? You ever take a nap in the morning? Got up, let the dogs out, said, "All right, you get back in the house." I went back to bed. Okay, it was one of those mornings. So I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. That's my theme verse. But remember the Apostle Paul also said, he said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course." Meaning, I've been running this race, and I'm seeing the finish line, and I'm so close. And guys, we're talking about the idea of heading home to glory someday, and we're just passing through this place. But you know what? This isn't a stroll. We should be running to the finish line. We should be trying our best. Okay. So with all that in mind, go back to Philippians, because the Apostle Paul picks up where that leaves off and says, "Therefore..." So guys, understanding all the stuff we just talked about, that I counted as dung, all those things that my flesh would think is good. Why? Because I'm running a race. It takes effort. Philippians chapter 1, where our verses for this morning, chapter 3, excuse me, Philippians 3. And our verses for this morning are verse 15 and 16. "Let us therefore..." Now I want to stop just for a second. This word, "let us," is not just introductory words. The actual Greek word here means "think this way." He uses this word over and over through this two verses here about this is the way you ought to think. So now I got to stop just for a second here and we just did a history lesson on what Paul's been talking about over the last couple of weeks that we've been looking at, that my flesh is not worth it. I got to keep under my body and push it. Man, I'm trying to win. I am not goofing around. This is a struggle. I'm pushing myself. I am trying to, by self-control, just like any sports person, it takes effort. And guys, these guys are regimented down to their everyday meal that, you know, guys who are in training, ladies who are in training in this, you happen to invite them over to your house for coffee and a donut, and you offer them a donut, and they say, "No, thank you." Why do they say, "No, thank you"? Not necessarily because I'm watching my weight, but because they're in training, because they want to win, to the point where they're denying their flesh things that would make them happy. I saw a meme yesterday from a close friend of ours for years put on... Facebook, he said, "Why don't mosquitoes suck fat instead of blood? Because then we could sit outside and eat donuts." Okay, but that's the idea. You know, when you are training, when you are pushing your body, you are worried about every little thing that affects you because you don't want to lose. You want to win. So he says, "Therefore, guys, I want you to think this way." That's where Apostle Paul steps up here. He says, You all need to think this same way, that my flesh is not worth it, and I need to be pushing the flesh because I want to win the prize. Think this way with me. Now keep going, what it says. As many as be perfect. Now that's my theme verse for this morning. How many of you guys are perfect this morning? Okay, now, we say that because sometimes we've let Christianity and some twisted definitions of this verse rob its true meaning from us. This word does not mean sinless perfection. Okay, sometimes you will see it stated that way by some people who have not studied it through. That's talking about being perfect means to be sinless. Okay, so when I asked you this morning how many of us are perfect, it doesn't mean without sin. That is not what this word means. This word means, let's let the Bible define it. 1 Corinthians. Remember, you can go to a dictionary and look it up, but the best thing to do is look it up in God's Word. And if you're a pastor, I don't know how to do that. We'll sit down in our next How to Study the Bible class, and you'll learn. It's not hard. It's really easy. The Bible says we compare Scripture with Scripture. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. You find out how God uses the Word, and it's easy to define. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You there with me yet? If not, just listen carefully. Verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. That word men is the same word as perfect. So you see the comparison? He said, don't be children, be men. Okay, be perfect. Guys, I should be hearing an amen. Amen. The Bible just said us men are perfect. Right? No, what it means is grown up, mature. You see that with me? Don't be children, be grown-ups. Okay, that's the same word that God's using here. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're talking about grown up, mature. Okay, you want another one? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to look at again at one of the ways God uses this word to help us define what he's trying to get us to see. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who have had their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word there, anybody got a guess on what perfect is? Full age. Again, we're talking about mature, grown up. Okay, we're not talking about being perfect, like me. Okay, no, we're talking about, okay, don't look up here and use the word exercise that we just did in that. Okay, also, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. It uses the word perfect, but it tags another word with it to help us understand it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12 says this. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, also laboring fervently with you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Okay, and there's some other ones we could read, but do we understand exactly now what God is meaning by the word perfect? Doesn't mean I don't have anything wrong with me. Okay, doesn't mean I never commit a sin. Because you know what? Why would Paul even write that verse? Now listen again. He says, therefore, as many of you would be perfect, the answer would be there would be none of us, right? If he was saying, okay, for those of you in the church who are perfect, this verse is for you. If it meant sinless, if it meant absolutely perfect, then it wouldn't be written to anybody, would it? But the word perfect is not meaning sinless perfection. It means you guys who are grown-ups, you guys who have matured, you guys who are complete, okay? You're not little kids anymore. You get it? And man, guys, if you remember a couple months back when we were studying the beginning of this book, Paul spent some time reminding us about growing up. And how important it is to get mature in our faith, okay? You with me so far? So Paul says, guys, please start thinking this way. And as many of you who are mature, grown up, you're in the Lord for a while and you know what you're doing, you ought to be thinking like this. Continue to look what it says. As many as be perfect, be thus minded. Listen, if you guys are mature in the Lord, you ought to be thinking this same way. That the things about my flesh are not worth it. I'm in a race. I've got to push myself every single day. You know, I think it's funny. Last year's champion, just pick any sport. I don't care what it is, football, okay, the Eagles, who won the Super Bowl last year, they don't walk up this season and just say, ah, we won last year, so we're winners this year. Right? It's not the way it works. Just because at one point you may have made an effort and you may have done well, it doesn't mean you don't keep pushing. As many of you at Madrid, you know as well as I do, it is a constant effort to be a winner. Be thus minded. He says, think the same thoughts. Are you with me so far? Now, I can't help but want to talk sportsy. I'm trying not to, but you ever see a sports team where they're all together, working together, they all got the same spirit, they all got the same attitude, and you know, the dugout or the bench or the, you know, the huddle, they're all on the same page and everything's going well because they're all thinking the same, and the coach, I mean, the Patriots are fantastic when it comes to this. They pick guys who fit into their system. If they don't fit into the system, they let them go. And you could hear a rookie coming out of nowhere and he gets interviewed and it sounds like he's talking to any of the rest of the guys. They say the same things. They have the same concepts and it makes things work well together. Then you see a sports team who has somebody in there who's a pain in the neck, who has their own ideas, who stirs up issues. Right now, not to name drop, you know, get him in trouble, but you got the Giants right now with Odell Beckham Jr., and he said some things to the media, and the rest of his team and the coaches are a little upset about it, and it plays out. You can see it on the field, and the commentators and the fans are saying, well, see, he should have never said that, you know, then he wouldn't have had a problem, and they, you know, all of a sudden it causes angst and it causes difficulty when they're not of the same mind. You see what Paul's saying? This is something that is very vivid in our lives. You ever do anything at work? No, I just said you ever do anything at work. I mean, a lot of people go to work, they just don't do anything. Okay, but there's been crews that I've been on, and I was telling a friend of mine, I used to install garage doors when I first moved into the area, and the fella I worked with who owned the company, he and I mean, we just clicked. It was one of those things where you kind of knew what the other one was thinking before you even think. He'd turn around. You ever watch the show MASH and Little Radar? And one of the colonels would say, Radar, I need a copy of, and he'd hand him the copy of the paper before he even asked for it because he just knew what was coming on. That's kind of the relationship we had where we were working together, and it's like, I need that 7/16th, and I'm holding the 7/16th out to him. He, thanks, because I was thinking ahead of where he was going already. I knew exactly what he was up for. You know, when you turn around, bring me the, and I'm standing there with it because just we were on the same page. We were the same mind. We knew what needed to happen next, and we were just hammering it. Teamwork. That is how teamwork really works. You ever get somebody where you're going, could you put your phone down and go get me that piece of paper, that wrench over there, please, today? You know, am I the only one working? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you get in a crew and the person's clueless about what's coming next. Okay, it doesn't just happen in sports, it happens all over, but that was Paul's focus. So Paul's saying, guys, if we want to be winners, if we want to thrive, if we want to do our best for the Lord, you got to think the same way. We've all got to be on the same page. Notice something else here. He says, and if in anything there be otherwise minded. God says, you know what? There'll be some people who don't think the same way. Do you see it? Let me read that again. I kind of messed it up. If in anything ye be otherwise minded. So that means if there's people with you that think differently than that. Now I like this. Because guys, on Wednesday night we've been studying how so often in Christianity the idea is push for unity. Oh, we all need to be unified together. As long as we all say that Jesus is the Savior, it's okay. We don't all have to think the same. As long as we have one or two things in common, we all should fit together without a problem. Well, you notice what the Apostle Paul says here? He doesn't say, guys who think otherwise minded, force them to think the right way. Notice what he says. You with me? Verse 15, the end. God will reveal even this unto you. And there's no solution. God says, listen, Paul is instructing, saying, if you guys are going to work together as a team, if you're going to be winners, if you're going to understand, you guys got to think the same. And you know what? Some of you aren't going to think this way, and God's going to reveal it to you. Period. He doesn't say, here's how to fix it. He just said, there's some people who aren't going to do it this way. And remember, we've already talked about this back in chapter 1, where Paul says, listen, you ought to think like the Lord, and if there's somebody that doesn't think that way, you need to stay away from them. You want to get on a team where all the players are heading for the same goal. Remember fellowship? A bunch of fellows in the same ship. If there's one of them that doesn't want to sail the rest of the direction that the others do, tough. That's where we're going, whether you like it or not. The only alternative is to jump ship and swim. The Apostle Paul's saying here, listen, guys, think this way. It's not a question. If there's any of you in here, and if you're mature, this is the way you ought to be thinking. Some of you aren't going to think this way. And Paul says, God will show those people. God will point them out. He'll reveal it. And it's interesting. That word means disclose or take the cover off. And guys, we talked about this on Wednesday nights again, but this is a perfect time for this. You're going to get a knock at the door and you're going to hear a bunch of trick-or-treat. And these little kids come up, and at first you may not know who they are, right? Who's that under that Captain America mask? And then they take the cover off. Oh, Billy, I didn't know it was you. That's what we're talking about. Now listen, God is trying to make this very clear that there will be some people who don't think this way. But give it time, God will show you who they are. The Apostle Paul's not saying, get ready to fix them. He's just letting you know there's some people who are not going to think the same way when it comes to Christianity. Be ready. But you who are perfect, mature, grown up, you ought to be ready. If you're going to work as a team and you're going to win, you better think the same way. You ought to have the same goals. All right, how are we doing on time? Woo, we're getting, oh man, we're doing well. So, this is not the first time we heard this, right? Flip back one page to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul already reminded us, guys, there is a way we are trained to think. We have the mind of Christ, okay? So what is the mind of Christ? And those who are in Sunday school, you can't answer this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we talk about having the mind of Christ. Does that mean the moment you're saved, your brain gets changed? Who had brain surgery at their... Okay, boop, I got a brand new brain. I got Jesus' brain now. Okay, man, you could win every trivia contest there was and everything. You know. We're not talking about literally the moment you got saved. Our brains get changed so we think like God. Guys who were in Sunday school this morning, we talked about the verses that says our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. That the wisdom of man is not the wisdom of God. We don't have his thoughts, but we do have his mind. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, for those who are in Sunday school, speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Okay, so here we go. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're talking about the Word of God. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we're talking about people who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have the Word of God, and they can understand his thoughts. They can understand his plan. They know what he wants us to do because we have his Word. We compare spiritual things, scripture with scripture. We just did that a minute ago. Now keep going. But he that is spiritual judges all... That's where I wanted. Judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Paul says, those who are mature, be thus minded. Think the same way. What does that mean? Think the same way. Use the mind that Christ has given us. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man's not going to understand it. And we talked about that this morning in Sunday school. We don't have to reason God's word. We don't have to try to get the general idea of what is being spoken. We have the actual words of God. I wonder what God meant by that. Read the book. Okay, what did we say in Sunday school for those people that have had children or are going to have children? What did I say? How many times do we say that to our kids? But I did. No, what did I say? You said you ought not to so-and-so, such-and-such. Exactly, and I meant that. But, well, we thought you meant, right? Don't throw the baseball in the house. It wasn't a baseball, it was a softball. Well, that's what you said. Right, exactly. So, all right. Do not throw anything in the house. Even a fit? I'm telling you. Okay. We have his mind. It's his word. So the Apostle Paul says, when he says, let this mind be in you, guys, you need to be like-minded. We need to be focused on the Word of God. There is a plan. Now, back to Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. Nevertheless, hereunto we have already attained. Okay, wait a second, Pastor. We just read the verses that Paul said, not that we've attained. All right, you're confusing me. He said, and we're perfect already. But none of us are perfect, right? Understand something. When we read back in verse 11, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection, that word in the Greek means to reach the finish line. We talked about it last week, right? That we're striving to win. Okay, I don't get on the starting block or play for a basketball team or go on the World Series because I just want to play baseball. I want to win the World Series. Okay, if you were playing on a teammate that says, you know, I don't care if I win or lose, I'm just here to play. Go someplace else because I want to win. We should be striving to reach the goal. Okay? There is a prize that we're reaching for. Verse 12, he says, not as though we had already attained. Okay, wait a second. So, that I might attain, I want to reach the finish line. Not as though, what is he looking to attain? A victory, right? I'm reaching the finish line for a purpose. You know, I want to just go, boop, I crossed the tape. Woo, yay for me. There's a goal. There's a purpose. I want to reach the finish line. But, now go back to the verses we're reading right now. Paul says, nevertheless, whereunto we have attained already. A little different word here. This means something that has already come to you, meaning you've already received it. And the only way I can put it, I guess, in best terms is we're already on the winning team. We may not have crossed the finish line yet, but we know who wins, don't we? And we just talked of it. We're singing songs about when we all get to heaven. You know what? If I happen to stumble and fall and not do so well in this race, I'm still heading for heaven someday because I've already got that. Okay, I read the back of the book. We win. Okay, that's the key. If you and I are Christians, if we've asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we've accepted that and reestablished that relationship between us and God, we are now His children again. We have a heavenly home that is guaranteed. I don't have to run my best and be perfect, sinless, to reach that, do I? That's guaranteed. I've already got that coming. I'm going to talk sportsy again. You're going to have to bear with me. The New England Patriots win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying they did. I mean, they are. They did. Just imagine they have. You know, it's probably going to happen again. No, anyway. Barb, be quiet. I see that look on her face. All right. We got Eagles fans. We got Falcons fans. Oh, can't believe it. Anyway. But listen, they come back to Boston, and they have a duck boat parade, right? And they're all up there celebrating on the duck boat parade, like, you know, doing the royal wave to everybody, holding the Lombardi trophy. But one of the receivers dropped a pass, didn't catch it. One of the running backs fumbled the ball during the Super Bowl. Okay. Maybe Brady threw an interception during the Super Bowl. Doesn't mean that everything they did was perfect, that everything went exactly the way, but they're still on the winning team. They all still get to celebrate together, correct? That's what Paul's saying here. He says, listen, nevertheless, guys, even though, remember, we're in this flesh and this is a struggle and we're going to push, you know what? Probably 95% of the time, if you're going to be in any sport, you're going to fail. It just makes you push. One of the best things, I used to coach softball, I used to coach baseball, I used to coach basketball. One of the best things that can happen to a team is have them lose. It makes you try harder. If all of a sudden, yeah, we're just half-hearted and we're winning all these games, sometimes you just don't put your effort into it. All of a sudden you lose, and the coach says, all right, guys, we got to run harder. We got to practice more. We got to. It makes you realize that we got to put an effort behind this. Listen, we already know that we are on our way to heaven someday. We have that. We are on the winning team. But we ought to still be pushing. Now look what it says. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. I've had people, I invite them over to watch. Hey, you want to come watch a football game? Yeah, sure. And they come over because they just want to hang around with together, to fellowship, to eat chips and stuff. But then you know halfway through the game, they're like, why did they, what does this mean? You know, or what does this mean? You know after a little bit, they have no idea what football is. Why do they all get in that little bunch before every play? You mean the huddle? Oh, why do they, you know, one girl I was watching with way back when, what do they call that thing, the snuggle? It's like, no, the huddle, okay? And, yeah, no, it was not my wife, okay. I'll give her a pass on that. I like, my wife is a sports watcher, so it's great. There's one day, it was one of the greatest days, I was sitting in the living room, and my wife comes in, sits down. She says, can we turn on SportsCenter? I was like, oh! There was, you know, the Angels were singing thing. I was like, wow! Anyway, so understand something. When you are on a team that wants to win, you all need to play by the same rules. And so often we'll see a bad call or something, you know, when we're questioning it, and we yell at the refs and because we think that the rules were broken or one team isn't following the same rules that the other team plays. You see, the Apostle Paul still on this same thought. He says, let us walk by the same rule. Now that word walk there means to march in an orderly fashion. Okay? It kind of has this idea where I wrote it down and I can't find it. Oh, in rank. I mean, you all have your position. You all know what you're going to do. Stay in rank, march together. You're all in the same rule. But you know what? And I can't help it. I'm doing construction over there on the barn. And one of the things, just being a contractor, when you have a measuring tape, okay, so oftentimes we don't say, hey, would you please pass me that measuring tape? Okay, it's a rule. That's what we call it. Hey, throw me a rule. Okay, and it's not unheard of, actually, if you talk about it. In school, you were given one of these little things about 12 inches long. It was made of wood. What is it called? A ruler. Okay, it is what sets the guidelines for everything you're going to measure. It is the rule. Everything needs to be measured by the same thing. We need to walk. We need to walk in rank, march lockstep by the same rule. Now, Paul was just saying, there'll be some who don't do that. But those who are mature and grown up, you need to be in lockstep, marching together by the same rule. Guys, this is why we have discipleship. I haven't hit that point in a while. But we have specific lessons and specific booklets and specific training plan that we bring one another through so we all walk by the same rule. Okay? We all have a guide. Man, I'll tell you what, it is a miserable thing to be doing construction when, after a little while, the end of a ruler or a tape measure can get a little loose and it can be like an eighth of an inch different. So I, you know, Dan's up on the lolly, he yells down, that's 64 inches. So I measure and cut 64 inches and it's too long because our rules are not the same. All of a sudden, what I'm measuring is different than what he measures and it makes a mess. Paul says, listen, you guys got to be in rank by the same rule. So we as a church have discipleship stuff. And you say, well, what do you believe about baptism? Well, let's sit down and teach you because we all want to be on the same page by the same rule. Because if you're on the same team and people are going by different rules, it's not going to work out. So that's why we've encouraged everybody to go through discipleship. No, it's so we're all thinking the same thing. So that when somebody says, well, I was talking to so-and-so about baptism, then I just talked to pastor, and you guys aren't saying the same thing. Well, Paul's real clear here, guys. Think the same thing. Have the same thoughts. Have the same rule. In sports, there are fellas and ladies who don't play the game, but they stand on the sideline and help the players in giving them guidance. What are they called? A coach. Okay? You are going to have a coach. Now, what does the coach do? Now, some of these coaches probably couldn't even run the 100-yard dash if they wanted to. But they've been in it long enough that they know how to teach the younger, healthy guys the rule and the best way in which to accomplish their goal. That is a discipler. Somebody who's been in the faith for a while. Somebody who's perfect. Okay? Mature, grown up. Who's walked the road a few times. And can tell you. And say, well, if you want to get to Chesterfield, you could go that way. But let me tell you a better way to go. Because they've driven it a bunch of times. And they can tell you the rules. As a matter of fact, we'll cover it next week, but the next verse says this, brethren, be ye followers together of me. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'll be the coach if you want. I can show you the ropes. I can teach you the rules. Now, let me encourage you, if you haven't been discipled yet, get in discipleship. If you've been discipled, get in discipleship. Because now maybe somebody else who needs to be disciples needs somebody to show them the rule. not to be a boss, but to say, here's the measure that we measure things by when it comes to God's word, just so we're all on the same page. Just so we're all heading in the same direction. We all know what we're doing. Because you know what? You get one guy on the team who doesn't know what he's doing and can mess up a play awful. Because he's not where he should be, not doing what he should do. The Apostle Paul says, listen guys, get in lockstep with each other by the same rule. Come on, be on the same page. If we're going to win this thing, we want to strive to be our best. Last little bit of this verse. So it says, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. Paul, again, is back on this theme, which he hammered. And I tell you, I know I keep saying it, but that's because Paul keeps saying it. He says, you need to think the same way. You need to change your thinking. And that's why we're so focused here at Bethel on making sure we spend time teaching what this book says. Period. There are churches all over the place who teach the book, and then they teach ideas, and they teach traditions, and they teach other ideas and other concepts. Listen, if we would focus on this, it would take care of all the rest of it. The moment you and I think we can reason our way through God's plan, we're in trouble. Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. It's not by the will of man, but God. So I hope that you and I are training our thinker so we can think the same way. Because someday I want a prize. You know what? I'd like to see some fruit of it here. I think about the Red Sox. Oh, Pastor, with the sports. Sorry. They're about to win the World Series. Yes. Just to let you know, statistically, no one has ever come back from being down 3 games and won. So they're up by 3. So the likelihood is they're going to win. You know, they had 108 wins this season. That was a club record. They never won that many. But that's not enough, is it? Yeah, they got that blessing and can look back at each other and go, guys, we won 108 games. But you talk to any of them and they say, not yet, we're not done yet.
We have to have more.
And you talk to the Dodgers or the Red Sox right now and say, well, what about the Monday, what about Tuesday's game? We're just focused on tomorrow's game. We want to win what's coming tomorrow. I'm not worried about what's happening 2 years from now. We got to do what's right now. We got to push right hard. You won 108 games, but that's not good enough. So guys, we need to think the same way. God's given us amazing blessings, and we're privileged to be a part of his family here. But this isn't the goal. We're pushing to the finish line. We're not home yet. We haven't crossed over into glory, so that means there's just one. What's the next game? I'm not worried about what's happening down the road. I want to do what's right next game. Because you know what? The trumpet might blow this afternoon, and we're home. So I'd like to win today. And if tomorrow I wake up and put one eye open and say, okay, it's time to win this day, another game, I'm going to put my effort into it. I'm going to play hard. Because we just never know. There's too many things going on in this world and too many things in our cushy American life to have us sit back and be spectators and couch potatoes. And we can't do that when it comes to our Christianity and our faith. We've got to try to be striving to be winners. We've got to be thinking the same way. So please, if you want to get in discipleship, come talk to me. We can hook you up with a disciple or myself, somebody. If you've discipled already and you're interested in maybe getting plugged in to be a discipler where you'd like to take somebody under your wing and teach them, we need to make sure we're all of the same mind. Okay? Not just because we can say, oh, yeah, look at us. Bethel Bible Church, let's pat one another on the back. No, because God said it's important that we all need to be the same mind. And if people are not, yeah, you'll see it. But those who would be mature, perfect, complete, ready to be working, are of the same mind. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And Father, I'm not going to say, God, I surely don't. But Lord, I know where to find it. If we would spend time in your book and continue to teach one another how to think the way our Savior thought. Lord, we talked in Sunday school about these being the very exact words of God spoken, written down in a book that we can have in our hand, that we can share with others. That's the purpose. Not just to put it in our own brain, but Lord, that we would take it and share it with others. And so, Father, maybe some of us, and I'll say this, maybe we've aged out of playing on the front lines. But Lord, we're a coach, or we could be. We're an example that can, and Lord, it doesn't mean to have to be a head coach. They have batting coaches, they have base running coaches. Sometimes it's just teaching something that you're really good at when it comes to your walk in Christ. And so, Father, I just pray that you would lay upon our hearts the ability to continue to fight, continue to push, and Lord, that we can all be in this together as a team. And Lord, I thank you. Not like a corruptible crown that's going to burn up someday. But we got a heavenly prize coming in a place where your Bible says moth and rust cannot corrupt. Lord, we have a heavenly home, and we're looking forward to that someday so much. So Father, please, as we are together as a church, as a team, as this family, help us as we're striving together by the same rule, by the same thinking, that until you come, we could be trying our best to win, trying our best to do what you'd have us to do. Father, again, as we are closing out the service, I want to remember Dan as he's sharing the word in the Tuttle family as they're reaching out to Herbie's family in his passing. Lord, that I know Dan was preaching your word. Lord, take your Holy Spirit and convict hearts. And Lord, I know Herbie received you, Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, a few years ago. Boy, what a great thing it would be to see some of his family learn that about him and commit their lives to Christ as well. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, just be with us as we go out into this world. Let us speak the words of God to someone else this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, like we have seen on Sunday school, the Word of God is not